Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If it's the first time you've listened to our podcast, you're very welcome. Check us out for more at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give our discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the Managing Director of Considered Content, Jay Ball. Jay, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
It's good to see you. So I can see you and you can see me because we're recording this over Zoom. But for the benefit of our listeners, where do we find you today?
Today I'm at my home office, which is down past Guildford in Haslemere on the edge of the sort of Surrey and West Sussex border.
And kind of COVID fluctuations aside, is that where we would normally find you, or are you out on client site a lot? What's it look like to you?
Typically, I work more from here than anywhere else. Our team's distributed. So, for example, our design team is actually in Cape Town in South Africa, which so we don't get to meet up too often, especially at the moment. I'll be at client meetings. A lot of these days are over Zoom. About 40% of our business is with clients directly in the US as well. So again, it tends to be more remote.
Okay. And you're Managing Director of Considered Content. So tell us, first of all, what does Considered Content do?
Sure. We are a boutique agency, really focused, mainly around demand generation. Okay. We have sort of specialisms and client experience in technology, professional services, and sort of high-end manufacturing. So that's kind of the core wheelhouse of a lot of sort of B2B focused agencies. But that's generally our core.
Okay, and your role then, I've always wanted to ask this question. What does the managing director of a boutique agency actually do?
Everything and anything. make the tea. I founded the business back in 2012. Had a co-founder at that time. But today, most of my time is spent advising clients around things like their positioning and messaging. I'm a copywriter by trade, and actually I still try to write for most of our clients a lot, because it's fundamentally what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the general and managing the business, which I think when you start up a business, nobody quite tells you all the ins and outs of what that involves, and you suddenly realize what you don't know.
What are the big challenges in doing your managing director role right now?
I think when you're running an agency and when you have sort of multiple clients in different geographical zones, different markets, you're always having to become reasonably expert on a number of areas, whether it's their products, their services, their markets, and needing to do it in quite sort of short order. It's one of those things, it's both the challenge and probably one of the things I love most about it, which is why personally I've never gone client side, because I love the variety of it.
And you talked upfront about your kind of interest specifically within copywriting and where your kind of core skills are there. I wonder if there are any kind of specific challenges within the copywriting space that you see as kind of typical at the moment.
I mean, I think the challenges really in B2B writing, they're kind of the same as they've kind of always been. And I've been doing this 20 odd years, I suppose.
We can edit that bit out.
No, I was doing this back when I had hair.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. Really, the challenges around the writing side are fundamentally turning a company's messaging, positioning outwards. And I think that's where, agencies play a big role. You know, there's this phrase, which I don't know where it comes from, but I love, is, from the inside of the jar, it's very difficult to read the label. And I think from my side, it's coming in and saying, well, okay, yes, there's obviously strengths to your products, to your services and that type of thing, but so what? I trot out this thing, and people who've been in meetings with me will hear this from me all the time. The biggest mistake companies ever make is assuming their customers care. Mm. So for a writer and for an agency, it's really about finding that kind of the intersection between what our clients do and what their customers really care about, not what they wish they cared about, but what they really care about, why it matters for their businesses or for their personal situations. And then to sort of articulate that in copy to make it, to do all the good stuff of making it, easily readable, that it flows well, that it, doesn't have too many what I would term exit points, those sort of points where you can just sort of stop reading and it's like, that doesn't really matter. And that's one of the things I love doing, and which is why I never have managed to step away from the copywriting side of things.
You referenced in that the 20 years of experience that got you here. So I wonder if you could take us through some of the highlights of that career journey for you, and in particular with a lens for our listeners on maybe things that they might want to emulate that you found as kind of useful bits of experience along the way.
Back in the midst of the time, I did a degree in communication, which was basically a combination of psychology and linguistics, which probably got me well placed, I think, for the world of marketing and lining up what motivates people with how to engage them.
Is that sort of thing, would you kind of recommend that? Because there are many people who have gone into marketing without having that kind of professional background up front. Was that important to your story?
It's important to me. And I know that there's the endless sort of debate around qualifications in marketing, and you've got the sort of things that sort of Mark Ritson's doing with the mini MBA type sure. thing and some of the other things, which I'm an enormous fan of. I don't think it's the only way of doing it. I think you can find your way in a number of ways. I think the sorts of approaches that you might take, I think if they just make you think more widely about this. So I'm a little wary of sort of super narrow qualifications. I think the qualifications that teach you to think, to wrestle with complex problems, to not be afraid of those complex problems, are all to the good. But I think there's multiple ways of doing that.
Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you. You started at the beginning and then didn't get much further.
So back then I decided I wanted to be in advertising, as we would have called it. And out of pretty much out of university, I joined a B2B agency that was called Dowland Associates, which was later rebranded, renamed as Base One, which some people will know. although I left there just before that. I joined actually to help with their marketing and their new business, and that was basically because I knew how to use a database, which back in the day was a tricky old thing, and before the days of CRM. But then I always wanted to be a writer. Our marketing worked. We got more business. I began writing for various clients, working with a very good senior writer, a guy called Ken Fregredo, who taught me a lot. Then after he left, I became kind of worked my way up. I became head of copy. I had a writer or two working for me then. Then left there because was looking for sort of new challenges. I joined a larger agency, a tech specialist agency called Banner Corporation. And I was there for about 12 years. So I actually almost took a step back, job title wise, and went from head of copy to being a copywriter again, then creative head, then creative director. And then I ended up being the creative and planning director, so planning in an agency is the strategy side of things. So I was working with clients, quite big international tech clients on their strategies. And then sort of tracking that all the way through into what the brief should be, what the strategy should be, and then how we created creative work to fulfill on that objective.
A very strong link for you in all of this seems to be between linking the kind of, if you will, the tactics work like copywriting with that high level strategy or planning side. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely fundamental to link the two. If we look at where we are with sort of B2B marketing and marcoms particularly, the world has become sort of increasingly tactically driven, and probably the rise of all the different martech has driven that to a greater or lesser extent. But often it isn't tied back to a core defensible marketing strategy. You get random acts of marketing or random acts of content and things like that, and just as often the marketing strategies don't really track back to the core business strategy, and for me that's just leaving massive value on the table. Now this is not to say you have to have tactics, because otherwise a strategy without tactics is just PowerPoint, but that linkage between the two I think is so core. It's certainly been what I've focused on, so I guess I'm biased.
And bringing us up kind of massively up to date now, what would you say is the latest thing in business marketing? What's keeping considered content engaged right now?
It almost links back to some of that, really. I think we begin to see a swing back to, what I would view as proper marketing, where it's strategies that identify an obstacle to growth, and then have a way of overcoming that obstacle or those obstacles. The tactical menu is now vast, and probably a lot of businesses try to do too much, if anything, with too much tech that is too loosely integrated. But the thing I find really quite encouraging, and again, is with the likes of Mark Ritson and people like that are talking around where this is heading. That for me is what keeps me engaged. Now, obviously, there's a significant offshoot that's heading in the other direction. So, there's a lot of talk around performance marketing, which I think is what marketing would say it's not performance focused. But what gets called performance marketing with things like programmatic and all these sorts of things, that when you dig below the surface, have some real issues with them and are perhaps not delivering the promise that they set out for. You know, the number of sort of MarTech companies, and I'm actually a big fan of MarTech, but a number of MarTech companies that promise something akin to the big red leads button are endemic probably in the industry. And but I think we begin to see a sort of a pushback against that, at least certainly with the sort of clients we work with.
What do you think has driven that pushback? Is that a kind of reaction to COVID? Is it just that we've had so many of these kind of dressed up pieces of marketing down the ages that we've just reached our quotient? What do you think is driving the change?
I think some of the COVID stuff has accelerated things that were happening anyway. I don't think it's really a cause of any of this. I think that there's a touch of emperor's new clothes about this now. To use a technical term, people are crying bullshit on it. It's a dangerous thing, I think, when marketers and businesses accept really significant advice from MarTech companies that have never made a profit in their lives. That are propped up on VC money and all that type of thing, who have a massive agenda that is not always well aligned with their customers. Now, obviously, I'm being somewhat harsh, but I think a lot of marketers are just turning around saying, "Well, we're spending vast amounts of money on this stuff. It's pushing us towards more and more tactical lead gen type activity, but it's obscuring some of the longer term growth generation activities that they should be doing, brand development activities that they should be doing. I think a number of marketers are saying enough is enough.
Okay. So where do you think, so if there is that trajectory over the next couple of years, hopefully to go back to basics, as it were, what does that mean marketers should be doing? What should they be prioritizing themselves over the course of the next few years?
I think it very much depends on the marketer, and very much depends on the business. So again, we get this thing where we talk about B2B marketing. Now, B2B marketing for a small SaaS application that a buyer can put on their credit card is very different than B2B marketing for a cooling system for a nuclear power plant. There's no crossover in these things. For me, in general terms, I think I would love to see more in the industry having more grown-up sort of business conversations with senior leadership about, okay, what really is the business strategy here? And we did some research, it was a couple of years back now, which really identified the fact that actually CEOs are not brilliant at articulating their business strategy quite often. So being able to have that sort of that conversation of, okay, well, what are we trying to achieve as a business? And then having a really clear idea of what's marketing's role in this. And obviously I focus on marketing communications, because that's kind of what we do, but obviously that's only part of marketing. And then really working, doing the hard work, doing the hard thinking of working that through to, okay, this is what our strategy is going to be. These are the obstacles that we're going to need to overcome. This is what success really looks like. How do we go about doing this in the broadest sense? Not just we're going to do a long-term email nurture program because we've invested in Marketo. It's really about thinking that through and saying, okay, these are the steps that we're going to take, and then committing to it. And taking a very systematic approach to that and learning along the way, because this isn't color by numbers.
Sure. And I guess that advice applies whether to use your range, whether you're a marketer in a nuclear power plant or whether you're a marketer in a SaaS business. Do you have some recommended reading for all of those groups as well? And maybe one that ties back to your point about communication.
This is really difficult. I've listened to some of the others that have done these interviews. Sadly, Brian McCready took one of my top picks, which is good strategy, bad strategy. And you can't see this, and nobody can see this, but I'm sat in front of a wall of books here, which is kind of my focus. It's very difficult, Dave, because there's it depends what you're looking to achieve. So, you know, there's people like, you know, Gerald Zaltman's How Customers Think, if you want to get inside how people really, really think about purchasing, How Brands Grow, Byron Sharp, and a whole range of these. I would actually encourage people to also look at books that are on a tangent to the world of business and communications. So the one I'm going to recommend, this is the left field one, is The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene.
I no one else has recommended that one.
I'm thinking I might be on my own here. Robert Greene is very good at he's got a range of books, but he's very good at unpacking the strategies and approaches in very sort of specific areas. And if you think about what we're often looking to do in marketing, it is to seduce in some ways. Show that we have real empathy with customers, that we can take them on a journey from one place to another, and there are parallels there. Now, it's not it's not a business book in that way, but I think the more that we can learn from other areas outside of the normal sort of business bookshelf, the better. So if we can dip into books around psychology, books around language, all these sort of areas, we will be richer as a profession.
Great. And that mirrors, I have had recommendations in the past, like kind of Diary of a plague year and stuff like that. So I guess the general advice that you've just given me kind of fits with that. So thank you for that. If people want to find out more about considered content, what should they do?
You can always come to the website, so consideredcontent.com. Always reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm reasonably active on there. Always reach out for a chat, to be honest. I genuinely enjoy talking about this sort of stuff. I always promise not to do hard sell on anyone because, frankly, I'm rubbish at it. But I do enjoy talking around the challenges of this because I find it endlessly fascinating and I love hearing about other people's businesses.
It's a great profession to be in, right? And I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Jay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jay Ball. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.